This is Darling, It's Better, written by Cartoon Mayor and Ghostal Service, and read by Tipsy Kitty. Chapter 1. Once they've gotten the house built and filled with Steed's treasures from his cave and locally crafted furniture from the little village across the isthmus, Ed's pretty fucking content. He's got Steed, he's got more money than he can spend, and he's got work. Going out with Jim and Dollu on their research trips, Steed swimming alongside to point out where the lesser sea creatures are. Dollu had rolled with the revelation of the existence of Scylla with his usual aplomb, after the initial shock, and car chase, had worn off. Jim had taken a little longer to come to terms with Steed, and Ed thinks Steed still somewhat terrified of them. But he's happy to help whenever they go out, as long as they don't ask him to find anything smarter than a sea turtle. "I won't disturb the whales, Ed," he'd said. "Courtesy, one child of the sea lords to another."
"What about dolphins?" Ed had asked.
Steed had grimaced, nose wrinkling. "I don't want anything to do with them. They're rude and invasive, always asking what's under my tentacles." Today, though, he's subdued. Ed leans over the edge of the boat, reaches down, strokes a finger along a thin tentacle as it crests from the water. "Hey, what's up, love?" Steed rolls on his back, easily keeping pace with the speeding boat, and gives Ed a smile that's not quite as sunshine bright as Ed's used to. "It's nothing, Ed. Don't worry about me."
"I do worry, man," Ed says. "I want to know what's going on in that wet head of yours. I can tell you're worried, but you're shutting me out."
Steed smiles. And this time it reaches his eyes. "I promise, it's nothing serious." Ed narrows his eyes, and Steed finally gives a deep, beleaguered sigh and says, "I'll tell you later. It's private."
"Hey, stop fondling your boyfriend and get your ass over here, Teach," calls Jim. "We've got a mola mola and I need you on the net."
"Later," he repeats, eyes on Steed, probing. And Steed sighs again and nods, matching the boat's speed. His tentacles slow their writhing propulsion, and Ed shivers as their tips roll over the surface. He knows how flexible and strong those are. Knows it intimately. They're sensitive, too. So sensitive. And he wonders,
"Ed! Dios mío, get the fuck over here before they get away!"
He hears Dollu laugh as he scrambles across the boat. He forgets about their odd conversation until they're getting ready for bed that night, Ed naked on the floating mattress, Steed's tentacles draped all around him, stroking his skin gently. He's not hard, not really. Steed had curled 8 tentacles around his cock earlier, completely surrounding it with slippery suckers that squeezed and slurped and oscillated, and he'd come for what felt like hours. So now he's just floating on the gentle warm waters in the relaxation of a truly spectacular orgasm. Steed shifts until his head nudges against Ed's, pushing up onto the pillow. Ed's used to being damp constantly now, glad they've settled in the Caribbean where the water and the air are nearly always on the edge of too hot. But he'd take a little hypothermia if it meant being with Steed. Steed makes him so fucking happy, and seems to be just as content to be with Ed. Except, hey, he rolls on his side, taps Steed's temple with his forehead. "What was that earlier? You said we'd talk about it." Steed tenses. Ed can feel it through their bond, a squeezing headache feeling trickling across, as well as in all his limbs, a little hardening of his tentacles, a tightening of his fingers where they're wrapped around Ed's wrist. "Come on, love," he says, because he's starting to get a little nervous now. "Hey, you can tell me anything." "It's nothing," says Steed. "It's stupid." "If it's freaking you out this much, it's not stupid." Steed sighs, a great heaving breath. "It's just... I'm not sure how to explain."
"Do your best, man."
Ed rolls closer. Glad they added the extra outriggers to his floating bed platform. They're only in a foot or so of water, but he still doesn't want to be dunked just because he tries to get closer to Steed. Again. Well, in the brine, when people decide to be mated, there's a special ceremony. Ed pauses, pushes up on his elbows. See, and I know we can't. I know we can't go that deep, and it's not like I can go back anyway, or that they'd accept you as my mate, but a strange pulse of longing and love tumbles across their bond. I'm not religious, but it feels like something. I don't know.
Like it's bad luck? Tries Ed.
Steed considers that, then nods and climbs closer, pulling more of himself onto Ed, snuggling close to him. He can't stay there long. He'll dry out and get all flaky. And there's nothing Steed hates more than getting flaky. But it's nice for a moment. Steed, asks Ed, after settling back down, a hand in Steed's hair, stroking gently. His heart's a little bit in his throat.
Are you trying to ask me to marry you?
Steed pops his head up, brow wrinkled, confusion radiating through him. I thought we were married already. Ed blinks at him. That's your word for mated, isn't it?
Sort of.
Ed reaches out and curls a slender tentacle around his fingers, weaving it between them as he thinks.
But it's an official thing. A legal government thing, you know?
Like taxes.
Ed laughs. Yeah, kind of. But, we can't really do that, since we're technically fugitives.
The tentacle slithers into the gaps between his fingers, rubbing at the sensitive skin, and flows over the inside of his wrist. Ed strokes it absently with his thumb.
There's nothing like that with the Scylla.
There's a ceremony, but we wouldn't be like this before it. We wouldn't be living alone together like this. Not before completing the shift.
The shift?
Ed presses his face further into Steed's hair, inhaling the rich, briny smell of him. Steed doesn't answer for a moment.
Hey.
Ed pushes through their bond.
Let me in, Steed.
There's a sense of widening, opening up in Ed's mind. And Steed's there. Ed sees through his eyes, sees the brine. Still a fucking weird experience, seeing where Steed's from, because it's nothing like anything in the human world. Sees a cavern filled with Scylla, all colors and ages, though none quite as vibrant as Steed's turquoise tentacles. There must be hundreds, all floating, drifting back and forth and steadying themselves with tiny movements, in a rough half-sphere around a dais. He can't hear anything.
Fucking obviously, he reminds himself.
They're underwater and don't fucking talk. But somehow he knows this is a ceremony for Steed's distant cousin and a Scylla from another part of the brine. Coming together before a potential mating to see if they're compatible. There's a strange sort of wistfulness underlying the memory. And Ed's not sure if it's aimed at the place, the people, the ceremony, or what. The pair floats beneath another Scylla with long, sunburnt orange tentacles and speckled graying skin. Even if he didn't have information flowing from Steed, Ed could have guessed this Scylla was old. All three of them reach out and clasp their hands together so they make a three-point star shape between them, like the Klingon emblem.
What's a Klingon?
Not now, Steed. The memory refocuses and Ed can sense a psychic crackling from the Scylla with the orange tentacles and the mating pair he's holding on to. His eyes roll into the back of his head and all three Scylla go still in the water. Ed feels a flare of panic that Steed soothes by telling him it's all very normal and supposed to happen like this. After what isn't more than a few heartbeats time, the tentacles of all three Scylla twitch and start to roil. Their eyes refocus and they let go. The mating pair begin to touch each other softly with their tentacles and hands, twining together and pulling apart, eyes reverent. In the memory, Ed feels how much Steed longs for this type of bond with someone else, and he gives him a mental squeeze of love and affection.
That was the shift?
Yes, now we wait until they... The memory flickers and changes. They're at a party, some days after the ceremony. Steed's not sure exactly how many. All eyes are on the happy couple, who are feeding each other white-plumed anemone and sun coral. They embrace, arms around each other, tentacles enmeshing until they're completely tangled together. The community sends a collective psychic congratulations, and the party begins in earnest. Eerie, echoing whale song starts to permeate the space. Scylla pair off and twirl around each other until their circling bodies look like DNA strands. Occasionally, they reach out and wrap the tips of their tentacles together. Steed shrinks toward the edge of the cavern and tries to blend in with the wall. "Steed, love," Ed says gently. "Let's go home." Ed blinks his meat body and finds himself back in the present, on the floating mattress, with Steed wrapped around him. Steed buries his face in Ed's neck and ripples out apology and embarrassment along their bond. "You have nothing to be embarrassed about." Ed kisses the top of Steed's head and licks the lingering taste of salt off his lips. "You were just waiting for me." Steed gives a pleased squiggle and squish of his tentacles. "Steed, we don't have to be mated in the eyes of the Sea Lords to belong to each other." "I know that. I would fight any Scylla who said otherwise." The tips of the tentacles not wrapped around Ed circle around Steed's face and wiggle around in Scylla amusement. Ed grins and tilts Steed's face upward with his fingers under Steed's chin and kisses him softly, pulsing out love and desire and commitment. "Do you ever regret it?" Steed asks. "No." "You don't miss your life?" Along their bond, Ed flashes through memories of the monotony and boredom of his life before Steed, the baggage of living in the modern human world, the ways in which Steed has changed him for the better. Steed takes it in silently, still bothered. "And it doesn't bother you," Steed says, "that we're not married?" "No, fuck no. That doesn't matter to me at all." "I'll get there." Steed sends a pulse of reassuring sincerity between them. "Don't worry about me, my love. I'll be fine." But Ed doesn't stop worrying. He tries to keep the feelings closed off from Steed, and at first he thinks he's succeeding. He doesn't want to think about all the things he's taken from Steed, between holding him captive back on land, keeping him from rejoining the brine, and separating him from any last vestige of his culture. Steed swears he's happy with Ed, promises he hasn't given anything up that's worth anything close to their life. But Ed still worries. So he's thinking about workarounds, scuba gear, tiny submarine, Scylla costume, quantum physics to recreate whatever weird mer-magic was happening with the shift. His ideas get even wilder and more deranged, until one day Steed snaps at him. "Will you please keep your thoughts to yourself? There's no way to do this. Not even a..." Steed sends a probe into Ed's mind. "Ursula? What's an Ursula?" Ed sends him a quick flash of Little Mermaid memories. Steed twitches with his own thought and goes, "Huh." "Huh? What huh?" "I hadn't thought of Jackie." They take Ed's sloop and sail south for a few days. Their destination is an island that's just out of sight on the coastline of Venezuela. There's a little greenery and a lot of rocks, and it's so small Ed can see end to end without any trouble. Steed swims them both to the shoreline, and Ed holds his breath as they dive underwater. Thanks to his former career and aquatic lover, he can keep his eyes open in salt water comfortably for longer than most humans, and through the blur he sees a glowing, swaying forest of sea plants in a pale mint green. Steed swims them through the forest. The leaves brush against Ed's skin and make him shiver. "How's your breathing, Ed?" "Got a few minutes left in me." "We'll be there very soon." He sees a big neon. "That can't be right." Sign that says Jackie's Cave of Wonders in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Mandarin, and a few languages that aren't anything human, including a clump of bioluminescent moss that might be a set of symbols, or might just be moss. They swim through a narrow entrance, and when they exit, Ed gasps bubbles. The cavern is huge, and he can't see details well through the water, but there are more plants along the bottom in a rainbow of glowing pastels. There are eels swimming around, at least a dozen of them, and there is treasure, heaps of gold and gems, and what he's pretty sure is fucking skulls scattered along the cavern floor and in chests like an actual fucking pirate movie. There are tables, or something like them, and two creatures that are not Scylla and not human are sitting there. Again, the details are blurry, but they kind of look like horses from the waist up, with snakes for hair and back halves that blur together with the water around them. Tomes, Steed tells him. He sends that a picture of them from his perspective. Their hair is actually coral, but it's meant to look like sea snakes, and they've got scary fuck-off teeth and talons and no eyes at all. Their back halves are water, churning currents that can scald skin if you get too close. Best to stay away from Tomes, Steed says.
Yeah, I got that. Steed, I do need to breathe soon.
Oh, yes, sorry. Steed swims upward and they break the surface. Ed gasps in lungfuls of air and resolves to maybe invest in some scuba gear for the sloop in the future. There's so much shit down here, so much life. And this is where Steed's from, or at least more like Steed's home than what they've managed to pull together on the island. He wipes water from his eyes, and Steed wraps a tentacle around his waist to support him.
Welcome,
says an imposing voice. It pings melodious and feminine even in his mind, to Jackie's Cave of Wonders. He squints, but can't see anything except the soft glow far beneath where he's treading water. Shit, a human. Geraldo, turn on the lights. Ed is momentarily blinded as white light flashes all around him. He blinks the spots away to see a Scylla with rich red tentacles and deep brown skin, lounging half out of the water on a rock shaped like a throne. The lights are... they're definitely shitty fluorescent lights somehow. One of them is even flickering. Jackie says,
don't be fucking rude. Jackie is redecorating soon.
Ed feels a little uncomfortable. He says privately to Steed,
don't you need to get to know someone before you can communicate with them psychically?
Not the Cryptids. Steed sends a flash of the orange-tentacled Scylla from his memory of the mating ceremony. They send their thoughts along their bond in rapid fire like they always do when they're comparing human and Scylla concepts. Not like a priest so much, Steed says. Maybe more like a mayor shaman.
Voss, Jackie interrupts.
Yeah, I can hear you. Ed grimaces and resolves to keep his thoughts as much to himself as he can. Jackie is imposing and beautiful, and she seems to be smoking a cigar. One delicate tendril is wrapped around something smokable, and she brings it to her lips, which are tinged red with what has to be human lipstick.
Thank you, Ed says, for the, lights.
Jackie is accessible to all.
Now, what do you want?
Ed and Steed exchange glances.
We wish to be mated, Steed says.
Okay, Jackie says. You're obviously obnoxious about each other. She twitches several tentacles around in a pattern Steed communicates to Ed as a Scylla blessing of sorts.
I declare you mated, Mazel Tov.
That's not what we meant and you know it, Ed says, adding a deliberate touch of grumpiness into his psychic voice. Not that we are grateful, Steed says quickly.
But no, we wanted to experience the shift.
Jackie squints at them.
Might be possible.
And if it's not, Ed says. Jackie gives a Scylla shrug, rippling her tentacles upward and downward and away from torso to tips.
Might be nothing. Or you might die. Shit's been weird lately. Could go either way.
Die? Steed says with sharp, anxious energy.
Die?
Ed says at the same time, unimpressed.
Fuck if I know, says Jackie.
So, bring me an offering, and we'll do it. No thank you, Steed says. At the same time, Ed says,
what kind of offering?
Jackie sends an image of an oblong black and white object, about the size of a football. Definitely human, but Ed doesn't know it. He flashes through some possibilities. Coffee grinder? Sex toy?
Mushroom statue. Robot? No, dumbass, Jackie says, which Ed thinks is unfair. It's a strike scrap. What? A cut cuff. A slash whack. Damn it! Geraldo, do you know? Anil wiggles out from the part of the throne Jackie is sitting in that's underwater, and pokes its head out, looking at Jackie. Ah, okay. A slap chop. Jackie wants a slap chop. Loves me a chop nut. Ed and Steed send mental sparks back and forth without words, discussing everything. All right, Ed says. We can do that. The nearest Walmart is in Costa Rica, so Steed and Ed spend a few days making their way there and back. And Ed spends one very surreal afternoon wandering the aisles, and remembering his very poor Spanish, and relearning how to exist in a crowd. He returns to the water and spends a day convincing Steve that Jackie wasn't serious about the dying thing, and that the worst-case scenario is that it simply won't work. They return to the Cave of Wonders. Jackie passes off the slap chop to her eel minions and waves her tentacles the nest patterns in the air. So, ready? Ed and Steed nod. Ed sends Steed a pulse of reassurance that he's going to be fine, and reaches out where he's treading water to take hold of one of Steed's hands to give him a physical squeeze as well. Jackie slips into the water beside them, and all three of them clasp hands. The shift is a trial, she says. A test of your bond. To complete the ceremony, you must discover something hidden. Like a secret? Steed says. Jackie stares at him, nonplussed. Did you really just interrupt the Cribdis performing your shifting ceremony? Sorry, Steed says, mind voice very small. Where was I? Test the bond, learn something new. Bloody fucking blah. It doesn't really matter. Here we go. Ed is immediately overwhelmed by the psychogenic energy that comes blasting out of Jackie. It's not like anything he's experienced with Steed before. There's nothing connective or communal about it. It's just raw power. Reflexively, he tries to wrench away but finds he can't let go of their hands. What's really setting him panicking, though, is that he can't feel Steed. Their bond is completely silent. Ed realizes, a moment before he loses consciousness, he doesn't actually know what in the fuck the shift actually is. It's not really like fainting or sleeping. It's like being unalive. All that remains of Ed is the capacity to understand that he doesn't exist anymore. And then he's back. He thinks he's screaming, but no sound is coming out. His body is... it's wrong. His mouth is wrong. His legs are... does he have too many legs, or too few? He can't fucking figure it out. His arms are there, his chest, though his neck feels weird, and his... he can't feel his dick. That's fucking weird too, what the fuck? Because it's like his legs. He's got this diffuse feeling of dick, and it's... oh, fuck. He peels his eyes open and blinks. He's floating underwater. His face is submerged, his mouth and nose, and he gasps reflexively, water flooding his lungs. But his lungs just happily take the water in and push it back out. No spasms, no coughs, no tunnel vision, just breathing water, like a fucking fish. And his body feels strange, like it's not shaped the way he expects. And when he looks down, what the fuck? He yells. Or he tries to, but it comes out more like, uff, with a mouth not made for human sounds. It's okay, says Steed into his mind. And Ed calms a bit, forcing himself to stop gasping for air when there's none and he apparently doesn't need it anyway. So he holds his breath. Breath? Is it still breath when it's not air? For a count of five, then lets it out, feeling the current swirl with the water he's expressing. He rubs his hands over his face and his fingers are different, webs between the digits and paler, pink and golden. He knows this hand. Knows it almost as well as his own. His own. Which is reaching out to him from his body that he is not in, what the fuck? Steed, he says, through the bond this time. What the fuck? Why am I you?
Steed kicks his legs frantically. He's also under the water, Ed realizes, and he panics, stumbles forward and shoves Steed up until his... Ed's. Until the face Steed is currently wearing breaks the surface. Ed pops up beside him half a second later, hands under his armpits, holding him.
Jesus, Steed, don't fucking drown.
He can't drown, dipshit, says Jackie. He's a Scylla.
He doesn't look like a fucking Scylla right now.
Doesn't mean he's not one. You both are now. Sort of.
Why the fuck am I a Scylla? Says Ed furiously.
Steed! You didn't tell him what was going to happen? Damn. Jackie shakes her head. Fucking rude, man.
Ed turns to Steed, who's shrinking back where he's sitting in the shallow water, feet kicking at the ocean floor. And Steed realizes he's doing the same thing he always does when he's nervous or stressed, just with feet instead of tentacles. And against his better judgment, he finds it really fucking cute. He moves forward. He's not sure how he moves. He just thinks he should, and then he does. Like a fucking Segway or some shit. And it's weird as hell, but he refuses to let himself freak out again. Jackie's disappeared somewhere, and Dad's relieved to be out from under her gaze. He settles himself awkwardly down on the ocean floor in front of Steed, and it's obviously Steed. Despite the tattoos and the hair, he moves like Steed. And it's fucking weird to see Steed operating his body like a puppet, and takes his hands in his own.
Hey, he says. Steed.
I know, says Steed, voice small and miserable, barely a thread through their bond. I didn't tell you.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of pissed about that. I would have liked a warning.
I'm sorry. Steed curls in on himself, arms raising and fluttering around his face, then dropping back to his knees. And Ed realizes he's trying to hide in his tentacles like he usually does when he's scared or sad or ashamed.
Oh, the fuck, Steed.
He moves even closer, pulls Steed into his arms, tries not to think about the weirdness of running his hands over his own tattoos, brushing back his own hair. It's still Steed in there, just with some truly weird fuckery happening. The tentacles rise and surround them both, drawing them both more tightly together. They're wrapping Steed up more than Ed, and Ed realizes with a start that they're doing the same thing they always do, hiding Steed when he's uncomfortable. Only this time they're doing it from Ed's, well, sort of Ed's, body, and it's weird as fuck.
Steed, he says tentatively, I'm not doing that.
Steed shakes his head.
Steed. Are your tentacles sentient?
Steed pulls back, finally meeting Ed's eyes again.
Sort of. They have brains, at least.
Ed's pretty sure he's having a panic attack. He's never had one before, but his vision is tunneling and his heart is pounding in his ears.
You mean there's been 100 other people there every time we have sex? And they've been, like, in my ass?
No, Steed says immediately, and then... Well, yes. They're not people, Ed. They're just... They're a part of me that thinks with me, but also separately. They're not... No, they're part of me.
Ed takes another set of breaths. Deep, watery breaths into his Scylla lungs.
Why didn't you tell me this was going to happen, Steed?
Steed shakes his head miserably. Ed pushes gently at their connection, urging Steed to open up. To stop trying to force his fears into words. Only, when Steed lets him in finally, it's not fear, it's embarrassment?
You forgot?
I thought I told you.
You didn't tell me, Steed.
I know I didn't. We're so in sync, Ed. Ed knows what he means, and reluctantly, he kinda gets it. It's like when he mentioned something that happened on a flight to the East Coast once, and had to explain the entire concept of air travel to a baffled, disbelieving Steed. Some things are so obvious he forgets Steed doesn't know them.
I'm sorry, Ed,
he says, and he looks so pathetic floating there in Ed's body that he sighs, reaches out and tugs Steed closer into a hug. and closes his eyes because it's fucking weird to be hugging his own body no matter who's in it.
Hey,
Ed says, because he can't stand the waves of shame wafting off of Steed.
It's fine, man. Tell me what you know, okay? Better late than never. And at least I still look fucking sexy.
That startles a laugh out of Steed, and the discomfort fades from where it's oozing across their bond. I didn't know much more than what Jackie said, he admits. We stay switched until we fulfill the conditions, or until we give up and come back to have her undo it. But then we've given up on a mating.
But we're not fucking doing that, says Ed,
and turns to Jackie, one arm still holding Steed.
What do we have to do?
Jackie shakes her head.
Nope, not my job. Get out of my bar. I hope I don't see you back here.
Ed considers arguing and pushing for information, but one look at her tells him it'd be useless and might kill him. So he just nods his thanks at her and pulls Steed out the front door. He's still getting used to the tentacles, but they seem to know what to do, unlike Steed and his legs, which are just sort of flopping in the water. So he tugs Steed onto his back, wraps his arms around his neck, and tows him back towards the boat. Ed's finally getting used to breathing water. It's different from breathing air, and this body seems invigorated by it. Steed's sleeping finally, but Ed's restless. He'd asked Steed earlier if there were things he shouldn't do, things Steed wanted him to know so he could take good care of his body while he was occupying it. And Steed had looked at him with Ed's eyes and said, I trust you, Ed, with all of me. And wasn't that a fucking thing? So he's floating, unable to sleep, because apparently his insomnia isn't part of his body, it's part of his mind. Which fucking sucks, because Steed's sleeping deeper in Ed's limbs than Ed ever remembers doing himself. He'd usually watch TV or read a book or jerk off. But he doesn't want to attempt to climb up to the living room with his still and steady grasp of tentacle mechanics and... Steed did say he was fine with anything. He scoots back to the floating platform and pulls up, folding his arms and resting his chin on them. He considers his face for a moment, slack in sleep like he never sees. Somehow it's easy to see Steed in there, in the pout of his lips and the way his fingers are curled together by his cheek. Even though he's got Ed's hair neatly braided back and Ed's tattoos on his bare arms and shoulders. Steed. He nudges gently through their connection. Hey. Steed blinks, grumbles without words, and hearing him make noises, even with Ed's own throat. Why is it so fucking sexy to Ed? And opens one eye a sliver.
What? Sleeping.
I know, love. Ed says. Feeling a swell of tenderness and not hiding it. Steed smiles, a tiny, pleased, sweet thing on sleep's slack lips. I just had a question. Ed feels his tentacles shifting restlessly under him, churning the water, sensing his distress. He stills them.
I can't sleep. Do you mind if I...
He starts to think jerk off, but he doesn't have a dick at the moment. So instead, he remembers the first time he saw Steed touch himself in the tank, and it shoots a jet of boiling hot lust through his chest. Steed's smile widens.
Please,
he says. I would join you, but... His hips shift on the bed in a sleepy grind.
Too tired. Tomorrow, though.
Tomorrow I'll... And he drifts off on a vague image of hands on skin. Ed pushes up and kisses his forehead, then his lips, and he slips back off the bed into the water. He swims out a ways, under the edge of the wall where Steed's door is. He's glad Steed doesn't know what a cat is, because he definitely thinks of it as a cat flap, and lets his tentacles float him out to where the water turns cold and dark, where the bottom drops out and the sea is open. The moon is nearly full, huge and gibbous, casting a cool white light that sparkles off the waves. The stars above are uncountable, infinite, and he floats on his back, breathing in the air deeply, staring up at the band of the Milky Way splashed across the sky. The ocean is different through Steed's body. He can taste the salt, for one, through his skin, his tentacles,
His mind doesn't quite know what to do with the sensation, so it gives him something halfway between a color and a taste, deep and ancient and inky blue. Ed rolls over, face in the water, delighting in the sensation of cool water against his skin. He'd be too cold by now in his own body, but in Steed's he's perfectly comfortable. He's more than comfortable, actually. The currents caress his skin and his tentacles, sending him minute differences in temperature and salinity and whatever fucking else makes the water shift from minty and green to deep red and, like, teriyaki, maybe. In the back of his mind, he can feel Steed, a constant, beloved presence, quiet and calm in sleep. Lately, he's been able to catch snippets of Steed's dreams when he's asleep and Steed isn't. And isn't that a fucking trip? He's never known anyone the way he knows Steed, never been known the way Steed knows him. And apparently, after this, he'll know him even better. He rolls again, sliding through the water until he finds a warmer current and spreads out, tasting the differences and... The water's creeping between his tentacles, the warmth of it tingling, and he's never had skin feel so sensitive before. It's brushing against the bumps of Steed's, his hole, the tendrils sliding out to taste it. Apparently those parts are much more attuned to taste because he's overwhelmed with information. The flavors of the water like a fucking feast, and he gasps and shivers with it, spreading himself flat on the surface and stretching his tentacles out to the sides. Ed's always been a bit of a hedonist, when he allows himself to be. Loves to squeeze the maximum pleasure out of things. 6 drinks at a time and 7 sugars in his coffee and 8 fucking tentacles around his cock at once. And this? Fuck. He's finally acclimating, his mind separating the feelings and processing them. And he runs a hand over his chest like he remembers Steed doing, following it with an eager tentacle. His skin sings. His own touch is unbelievable, sending waves of pleasure through him. And he pulls more tentacles up, feels more follow, buries himself in them. He sinks below the waves, lets the ocean cradle him and trusts the body he's in to keep him safe as he shudders with crashing sensation. He didn't understand how much this was, how Steed must feel all the time, and he groans, bubbles slipping through parted lips as he imagines Steed in this body, feeling this when Ed's hands are on him. Fuck. Ed's overwhelmed enough by Steed's body when he's in his own human one. Even just the gentle touch of a tentacle against his nipple is so much more than he'd ever felt with anyone else. And that's just Steed's outer tentacles on his nipple. The feeling of his slit around Ed's dick, his slender tendrils wrapping around him, pulling him in, sucking at his skin with the slick slide of flesh. Ed could never have imagined it. He runs a fingertip along a tentacle, gasping at the pleasure that shoots through him. He leaves most of them running over his skin and takes 2 in his fist, curling his hand around them and stroking like he would his cock. And, oh, that's even better. That's like nothing he's ever felt. And he wishes Steed were awake, imagines fucking into him with 2 undulating tentacles, imagines the slick, inky dark limbs slithering into Steed's hole, Ed's hole. Whatever. Anywhere tight and hot and slick and... Ed shudders with an idea and parts his tentacles, spreading them wide again like before, and gasps at the water moving on his most secret part. He feels swollen below, engorged, throbbing. It's a part of him that's never existed before, that he's never had the nerves or mental map for. But now that he's concentrating, he can feel his lips rubbing together, the tendrils at the opening weaving together, rubbing against each other, stroking themselves. He's never been so turned on without a partner in his life. Hell, he's never been this turned on ever, except with Steed. And it's almost like Steed is here. Ed can feel him through the bond, can reach for him and nudge into his dreams, feel them tumbling through Steed's mind. Though he can't see their contents, he can feel them turning warmer, slicker with his intrusion, and he shivers at the feedback loop he's creating. He withdraws. He doesn't want to wake him, after all. The first tentacle that noses delicately at his slit makes Ed's back arch with shock. He urges it forward, shuddering, lets it stroke the bumps just inside the hole, lets it wind into the thinner tentacles, tangle in them. It's strangely reluctant to go any further, but Ed pushes. This is his body, at least for the moment, and he's not letting a shy extra brain tell him what he can and can't do. He wonders if Steed does this, if he likes it. Steed likes fucking Ed, and he likes getting fucked. Although they don't do that very often, because Ed's pretty sure he's got some hang-ups about it, but he hasn't probed too deeply. But he pictures it as he slides the tentacle in deeper, thickens it, groaning a stream of bubbles out into the sea as he sinks deeper into the cool depths. The pressure of the water all around him holds him firm, pressing in on all sides. It's a weighted blanket pulling all the distractions away, leaving only him and this body he's in and the exquisite sensations curling through pelvis and throat, sending shivers down his spine. He slips in further, the feeling so much, the feedback loop of skin on skin so fucking hot he wants to scream. It's like fucking and being fucked at the same time, because it is that, but it's also more, because he's perfectly in sync with himself, perfectly in rhythm. Every part of him is singing and he wants to cry out, wants to pray almost, wants to thank the Sea Lord Steed believes in for these absolutely indescribable sensations. He writhes, tentacles whirling in a cloud around him, and slips another in beside the first, pumping in and out slowly in counterpoint, the suckers dragging and creating just the slightest bit of friction against the slickness of his hole. A third squeezes in. And he didn't ask it to do that, it just did, and they're part of him, but they're also part of Steed, and that's, fuck, that's so fucking hot. He opens his mouth, sucks in a deep blue tip, letting himself be filled at both ends as the feeling builds and builds inside him, beginning to overflow. And just when he thinks he can't feel anymore, that he's at his absolute limit of sensation, there's a sleepy, in the back of his mind, and he crests, coming, spiraling until his face breaches the surface, gasping in great lungfuls of air as the water around him heats with his release. It keeps fucking coming. He keeps coming. The water inky black around him, the pleasure sending his fingers curling, his mouth open with wheezing groans that have no spoken language, his stomach clenching. Distantly, he feels Steed reaching for him, and he reaches back, catching him in their connection, letting him feel what Ed's feeling. Steed's shock and arousal are palpable, the amid of bond thick with heat. Oh, says Steed. Oh, you're Sea Lord's Ed, I can't believe you. His mental voice is trembling and heated, and Ed slowly slides the tentacles from his slit, shuddering as they slip free. He stretches, spreading all his limbs out around him before diving to come back under the wall and into their little cove. You don't? He asks as he swims to Steed. Steed's awake now, sitting on the edge of the bed platform, and Ed pops up between his knees. Hey. Steed gasps, the sound loud and unpracticed. Ed. His eyes rove over Ed's face, his shoulders, dip to the surface of the water that Ed knows he can't see through. His face is flushed, long gray hair wild around his shoulders, and when Ed insinuates himself closer, he's fucking hard as a rock. It's a new experience, seeing his own cock like this. He's seen plenty of them from this angle, all shapes, tones, and sizes. But seeing the one he knows most intimately from this angle is different and hot, especially knowing it's Steed getting hard for him. Steed, who's never had a cock. Steed, whose body Ed has been enjoying all evening. He runs his hands over the tattooed thighs on either side of him, resting his thumbs on Steed's inner thighs. Steed gasps again.
eyes darting down to his lap and back up. You like to be making your body feel good?
Steed hesitates, then gives the barest nod.
Touching you in a way you don't touch yourself? The way I touch you?
Steed shivers. Ed's tentacles have snuck up to wrap around his ankles, his calves, his feet, and Ed can feel his toes curl.
Yes, he thinks, but it's faint.
Ed pushes on the bond, tugs on it, and Steed relaxes bit by bit, lets him see. It's a taboo in Scylla culture, Ed realizes, all wrapped up in reproduction and rules around mating and religion, maybe. Which isn't that different than many human cultures. But Steed's intrigued, fascinated by how it made Ed feel.
Were you dreaming of me, Steed? He asks.
Of course, Steed replies, and takes Ed's face in his hands, the rough fingers familiar yet strange against Ed's cheeks.
I always dream of you. Sometimes I dream your dreams along with you. He smiles. I like your body, Ed.
Ed turns his face to kiss Steed's palm. Steed gasps.
Can I show you how to make it feel good?
Yes, says Steed, mental voice shaky. Please, Ed. I woke up full of wanting you.
You got me, love,
says Ed, and he leans forward and takes his own dick in his mouth. It's not the first time he's sucked his own cock, but it's certainly the most comfortable. He was only ever able to reach between the ages of 19 and 23, and even then, it was more a novelty than a main event. Still, he's tasted his own cum enough on the mouths and fingers, and with Steed, the tentacles, of others. He runs his tongue along the head, pressing into the slit like he knows he likes, curls a hand around the base. Steed's hips jerk, uncontrolled. And Ed smiles against his skin. Hold still, he thinks, and not for the first time is delighted by being able to talk with his mouth full. His tongue is different, he remembers, wrapping it around Steed's shaft and sliding it up, tightening as he goes. He fucking loves Steed's tongue, loves it in him or on him, and he tries to imitate what Steed's done to him on Steed and... Oof. He recoils, flopping backwards into the water.
Ed, I'm sorry. I forgot I had legs.
Ed takes a deep breath, the pain in his gut from Steed's reflexive kick receding, and lets out a wheezing laugh.
Jesus, Steed, he says. Don't kick a guy for trying to suck your dick.
No, please come back. I'll be good, Steed says. But he's laughing now, too. Actual giggles. Nothing like the odd breathy wheeze of Steed's own body, and it's fucking cute as hell. It's weird. It's weird. It's Ed's body, Ed's face, but it's animated in a way that Ed never is. The movement's all Steed, and to hear this joyful, unrestrained giggling from him, out loud?
Well, Ed's gotta suck his cock about it.
He takes Steed's wayward legs and puts them over his shoulders. Grasping each ankle with a few tentacles, and dives back in. Steed's eyes fall shut. His mouth drops open. He moans, long and loud, and curls forward over Ed.
Oh, Ed, that feels so good. It's so intense, it's all right there.
Ed brings up a pair of thinner tentacles, brushes one over Steed's balls, squeezes the other under him to tease at his hole. Steed writhes, arms flailing, and Ed reaches up to grab his hands and set them in his hair, one at a time.
Push me,
he instructs, sending an image of his hands moving Steed's head.
I want you to figure out what feels good.
Steed tightens his fingers, the pressure and pinpricks of pain making Ed shiver, and he's not human now. And Steed sometimes can come 5 times in a day, so he's not surprised to feel his tentacles lengthen and swell as his slit slicks itself, as his skin goes hot all over. Steed thrusts into his mouth just as Ed slips a thin, slippery tentacle into Steed's ass. Steed lets out a high whimper, hips twitching between Ed's mouth and tentacles,
and he flails as he slides off the platform into the water. Steed's cock slips from his mouth as he crashes down onto him, and Dead catches him around the waist. Steed clutches him around the neck, shuddering, and Dead grins, reaches between his tentacles to slick his hand, and starts jacking Steed fast, like he knows his body likes, rubbing his thumb over the head. Steed's breathing like he's just run a marathon, puffing and gasping, and when Ed slides a second tentacle in his ass to rub his prostate directly while the other pounds in and out, Steed gasps and says, "Ed, I think, oh, I can't, it's too much." And Ed pulls him closer, arms right around him as he says, "It's all right, Steed, relax and let it happen." He can feel Steed's frantic heartbeat through their chests, can hear it pounding in his ears through the bond. Steed shivers, thrusting into Ed's grasp, and comes with a high, oh, that echoes through the cove and along their bond, driving Ed wild. Steed's cum warms the water around Ed's belly, the taste salty and fleeting through his suckers, and Ed can't fucking breathe, he's so turned on. So he kisses Steed's slack mouth, shoves a dozen tentacles between them, and ruts them against their close-pressed skin until he comes again in a spray of ink he can feel shooting through his hole, fizzing past his tendrils. They float together, panting as the sea washes the dark briny evidence out with the tide. They're cradled on the warm waves, floating on a swirling cloud of Ed's tentacles. Dawn is breaking in thin pink ribbons, reaching across the sky and through the narrow windows along the seam where wall meets ceiling. But Ed doesn't care. He tugs the floating bed platform close with the lazy tentacle and loads a sleepy Steed onto it, brushing long hair from his face and caressing limp, languid limbs. He climbs up beside him, leaving his tentacles in the water but needing to hold Steed close for a while. Steed opens his arms and his mind, welcoming Ed into both, holding him close. Ed sinks into him, sated and content.